Well, it's certainly good to be here this evening. But I enjoyed Brother Luke's message. You can call it a devotional, you can call it whatever you want to. Nonetheless, it was the gospel. And there was enough gospel preached already this evening that if you're here and lost and separated from God, you've heard sufficient information for you to know where you stand. You've also heard sufficient instruction for what you need to do. So I don't imagine, I'm not going to try and add to anything you said, Brother Luke. You did a fine job. I do want to take just a few moments of personal thoughts or words, and I want to, as I look at across the congregation of people, I am so overjoyed to see all the young folks that are here. You're the reason that we're here tonight and that the church will be here throughout the weekend. And I also realize and understand, and you all far too often don't receive the proper amount of appreciation. I have, over the last few years, learned that I am rapidly leaving my youth and getting on into becoming an adult at almost 40. I still haven't grown up, but I'm starting to age. And I realize as I do that, that you folks, you young ones, are going to be taking our place in a few years. And to Victory Church, I want to thank you for giving them this opportunity. I know the music isn't what we're used to, and I didn't. The reason I wasn't singing was not because I didn't like it. It was beautiful, and I loved it. And during that song before this last one, when it said, "My chains are gone, I've been set free," I wanted to yell, but I also wanted to try to conserve my throat. And I'm very thankful that you, as a church, are embracing the differences. I know it's not what we're used to. It's not the normal old Southern gospel music that I love, and I have even had a little bit of problem with that myself when my son got his first Casting Crowns CD. I didn't like it. I didn't like the music. But what I learned is I gave it a little bit of a, at my wife's urging, I gave it a little bit of a chance. And what I found was that even though it didn't sound the same, the message was just as clear. The messages that we've seen in these songs tonight, it doesn't matter if it's put to an old tune or a new tune, it's just as precious and just as important. And I appreciate you as a church embracing that. It wouldn't always be found in some of our churches, but I'm thankful that you have. I also am so thankful for our young folks, and I want to encourage you. Brother Benyon sits over there and looks at me. I just looked over and saw him. The reason I'm bald is because of the youth of my church. I used to say I lost a bet, but we don't bet at Gateway, so don't think I throw out wagers at church. I challenged them to get 30 young folks, and for Gateway, that's a good number. To get 30 young folks to church, well, they whooped up on me and got about 40. And as a result, I told them I would shave my head, and Brother Benny, I encourage you to do something similar. Just saying. You young folks, there's an opportunity. Samson had you beat, I believe. His is just a little bit longer. I'm also thankful that we can come to church and have a good time. But that's over with at this point. Tonight my heart is turned toward those of you who may be here and maybe you're lost and separated from God. And for those of you who are here and have been saved, I also have you on my heart. And I understand, and again, this is a youth revival or a youth function, and I want you to understand that I understand. I see it in my daily job that I have to unfortunately do in this world. I see the condition that our world is in. I see what you all have to deal with on a day-to-day basis at school. I see some of the things that, how the home and family is broken down and it's just gone. I know that there are a lot of influences in this world that are so negative and can pull you in so many different directions. But I want you to know that there is one thing that is sure and constant, and that is God. It doesn't matter what the world has to try to offer for you, and I promise you that Satan, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Satan will use those things to try to pull you away. Brother Luke has already made it very clear, very plain. Satan's goal is to try to lure you away from God that you may go to hell. That's Satan's desire, Satan's goal, and that's what he's out to do. But God, I want you to understand, it tells us in the Word of God that God is not willing that any should perish. God does not want a single individual on the face of this planet to die lost and separated from Him. Not a one. And I don't think anybody's ever going to convince me otherwise. God wants everyone to be saved by His marvelous grace. And that comes, as Brother Luke's already pointed out, through His precious Son's blood. His blood was shed on the cross of Calvary that we might be redeemed and that we can be redeemed. So tonight I want you to think about where you stand. Young folks of Victory and other churches, the thought, I guess, or the theme, if you will, was let us be, and tonight it was fishers of men. And as we look over in the fifth chapter of the book of Luke and we think about the story that was conveyed in this, we see a lot of different things. We see that Jesus, when he had finished teaching and he had taught the people out of the ship, it said in that fourth verse of the fifth chapter of the book of Luke, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now I want you to understand something, young folks. I'm speaking to the saved individuals in the room for a moment. I want you to understand that there will be times in your Christian walk when you'll feel like you've exhausted all that you have and all that you are. But I want you to understand that when you get to the end of your rope, that's when we really start to draw close unto God. When we reach the end of all that we think we can accomplish, that's when we suddenly find out that we really aren't anything to begin with, and that if we want to have anything successful in our Christian life, it's because God is the one that's providing us everything that we need to accomplish that. So Jesus told them to go out there and let their nets down. Simon, in that fifth verse, it says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You may have friends, and if it won't offend anybody, I'm going to take this thing off. You may have friends that you have maybe approached on a number of occasions. Maybe there are people that you've spoken with a little bit about Jesus. Maybe there are situations in your life that you feel like, well, I've done all that I can. See, Simon here, and I believe that he trusted in Jesus. I believe that he trusted that what Jesus had told him to do had a purpose and would come back with the exact results that Jesus said that it would. He didn't really tell him that he was going to I'll begin to sink his boat, but he said, let down your nets for a draught of fishes, or a great number of fish. Simon said, we've already done that. We've been out here all night, and we've toiled, and we labored, and that we just haven't caught anything. But nonetheless, young Christian, if you're here today, I want you to know that if you will, at the word of Jesus, do what he instructs you to do, there will be success that waits for you in the future. I want you to know that maybe you've got a friend, and that's something that I think we we don't see a whole lot of anymore is when people really get earnestly concerned for their friends, their neighbors, their loved ones, and I mean earnestly seek after God's will that they be saved by His Son's precious blood. I want you to know that when you get to that point and you turn it over to God, because God ultimately has to be involved in their soul salvation, He may use us along the way, and if He does, you better count your blessings and thank Him for the opportunity that He has given you to use you in His service. Because that's a blessing in your life. You may not recognize that, and I know when my youth, I certainly didn't recognize that. I was 19 years old before I even got saved. Brother Luke said he was 7. I can't tell you tonight how old you've got to be. I can't tell you tonight how old your friends will be. But I will tell you that when God intervenes, and when God gets on the scene and God begins to make changes in people's hearts, it doesn't matter to me what the age is. It doesn't matter to me anything up to that point. What matters to me is that they seek after God for the salvation of their soul, that they may be saved by His marvelous grace and eternally with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one day after a while when this life is over. Simon did what he was told. And it says, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. My young Christian friends, I want you to understand that sometimes we just have to realize that things don't happen in the time frame that we would like. We have to realize that sometimes God's plan is that things take a little bit longer. We have to understand that God's will may be that things are a little bit quicker than we expected. But nonetheless, if God is the one that is leading your life, and I'm talking to you who have been saved by God's marvelous grace, I want you to know that if God is the one that's in control of your life, you will have success. It doesn't matter to me what the world tells you. It doesn't matter to me what the world's definition of success is. If God looks upon you and sees that you are serving Him and accomplishing His will in your life, my friend, you are successful. Amen. Regardless of what anybody else says. Amen. We find in the book of Psalms that it tells us that God is well pleased with His people. I believe that God loves us. God is pleased with us when we serve Him and we labor for Him and we work for Him. I think God is pleased, and I believe He blesses a people when they work. I believe He blesses churches when they work and labor. I believe He blesses families, and even right down to the very individual, God will bless. And I want you to not grow weary. I want you to understand that I know what the world has to offer. I want you to know that it's not always going to be a fun, easy road in life. But I do want you to know that if you've got God on your side, you can overcome anything that this world will throw at you and put in your way. Amen. You can overcome it. Not because of your own strength, but because of the one that lives in you. That's what gives us the ability to overcome. I want you to understand, too, that just as Jesus instructed Simon there as He told him to cast his nets out, I want you to know that not every time, and I believe that what we see in that is that Simon there, as he had said, well, you know what, we've toiled all night and we have accomplished nothing, we've gathered nothing. I want you to understand that not every time that you cast your net, if we want to be fishers of men, as we think about the theme, if you will, for the evening, if we're going to be fishers of men, I want you to understand that not every time that you cast your net out will you have a draught. I want you to understand, if that was the case, we as preachers would probably be a whole lot easier to live with, I suppose. I don't get up every single Sunday morning expecting that there's going to be 15 people get saved. But I'll tell you what I do expect. I expect that God's Word will go out and have its will in the hearts of the individuals that are sitting in that room, and He can accomplish every single thing that I cannot. And He can do it. Not every time when I get up and preach does somebody come to an old-fashioned altar and seek Him for the salvation of their soul. Not every time when I preach does somebody I get happy and start to sing praises unto God or start to rejoice. Not every time do all these things happen. But you know what? Every once in a while, God gives me just a little bit of a tidbit of something to keep me going. He strengthens me. He renews me day by day. And He gives me everything that I need to continue on this old walk of life to accomplish His will. And He'll do the same for you. It doesn't matter to me if you're 50 or if you're 15. If you are a child of God, if you will trust in Him, I promise you, He will give you what you need to sustain you. I also want you to understand that part of this, Jesus, when He told him there to let his nets down, launch his nets, He didn't say, Simon, let me do it for you. A little bit of labor involved. A little bit of work. He said, you know what, I'll tell you what to do, and if you'll follow me, there'll be good things that will be a result. Young folks, I want you to understand that as you labor for the Lord, you're going to have to put forth just a little bit of effort into it to be able to accomplish what God's will is for you and for your church. And again, you all are the future of the church. All of us that are older than you, and I know none of us have a promise of tomorrow, but there are folks in this room that are in their 60s, 70s, and I'm not going to begin to try to guess people's age, but I'm here to tell you those folks are going to be going away before long. Nature itself tells us that folks are not going to live forever, and furthermore, the Scripture tells us that people are not going to live forever. You all are the future. You all are the ones that are going to have to carry this glorious banner of Christ into future generations. And I'll tell you, there are some things that you need to understand about it. And I want you to understand that you're going to have to labor just a little bit. The reason that you're here tonight, the reason that victory is here tonight, is because back through the pages of time, people have labored and followed after God, following after His leadership, and tonight you have the privilege of sitting in the results of the labors of God's people with God's blessings. Young folks, you're going to have to labor. That's one of the things I don't understand. I get a little frustrated. I went somewhere the other day and the power was out. I was going to buy something and that poor little feller behind the cash register there, he looked at me like I was crazy when I told him I wanted to get something and the power was out. Oh, we can't do that. Our computer's down. I thought, well, can't you add? It kind of gets frustrating. And I understand how computers track inventory. I understand all that. But you know what? Don't just sit back and say, well, God's going to provide somebody else to take care of it. There's an old saying I like to use, if it is to be, it's up to me. You got to put a little effort into it. And when you will, when it's God's will for you, following after Him, if you follow His leadership, I promise you good things will be a result. You've got to cast your nets. And I want you to understand, and this is, again, another, I guess, an additional thought to what I had. I want you to understand that as you go out and you cast your nets and you're trying to make these catches and you're trying to lead people to Jesus Christ, and you're trying to, again, and we hesitate to use the term, but when you're trying to get folks saved, and folks, that's ultimately what we're trying to do. We're trying to get them to the house of God to hear the truth of His Word that they might be saved. And it has absolutely, as Brother Luke's already said, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with him. It has nothing to do with anybody else in this room. If you're lost tonight and you get saved, that's between you and Almighty God. And that's how you get it. But I want you to understand, as you go out and you're casting your nets, don't think for a moment that that's the only net going to be out there. Don't think that you're the only one out there on the ocean trying to make a difference. It'd be nice if I could tell you that that was always the case. But I want you to understand, there's somebody else out there casting nets too. Sometimes it's a good net and sometimes it's a bad net. I want you to understand that we have an adversary. And I want you that are lost to understand that that adversary is the one that we've already talked about. That is Satan, and he wants you to die and go to hell, lost and eternally separated from Almighty God. That's his goal. That's his desire. And I promise you that he is out there casting nets out into the same waters that we're casting our nets, and he's trying to get every single one of them that's not already in the family of God, and he's going to cast those nets. He has those that are out working for him casting those nets, and if anybody wants to debate with me on this, I'll debate them all day long. I tell you, he's using drugs and alcohol and the things of the world. Those are his nets that he casts out there, and when he snags just one, I'll tell you what, it makes him just as happy as the day is long that he's pulled another one away from God. I know people don't preach about that no more. People don't preach about the evils of alcohol and drugs and all the other things in the world. Let me tell you, folks, Satan will use absolutely everything that he can to make you think that something is appealing or that something is good or that something will fill the void in your life. I'm here to tell you, if there's a void in your life, it needs to be filled with the blood of Christ, not the things of the world. They will lead you to an eternal separation. They will lead you to death. And we find in 1 Peter in the 5th chapter, if you've got your Bible and want to flip over there. I know this is referencing elders. But folks don't always get so caught up in saying, you know what, well, that's talking to the elders. That's talking to the pastors, so it doesn't apply to me. Let me tell you something. I believe that every verse of Scripture applies to me as a child of God. I think it's all good for my instruction. I think it's all good. And as a pastor, yes, there are some aspects of this word that have a significant meaning in my life. But let me tell you, every bit of it's good for every child of God to dissect, to read, to study, to understand, and to know. But we find that 5th verse, and it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And young folks, this is appropriate. I want you to understand that what we do, the old-fashioned Baptist ways, as we like to call them, we don't do those things just because. There are some traditions, and I preached about that one Sunday morning at Gateway, and I thought they was all going to beat me about the head and shoulders and run me out of the church because I talked about the traditions of men versus the traditions of God. There are some things, folks, that we've entertained or interjected that aren't necessarily nothing wrong with them, but they're not necessarily the Scriptures. There's some things we do that are traditions that we've passed on. And again, I'm not condemning those things. I'm just simply saying the things that you need to understand, that you really need to grasp, are the doctrines, the plan of salvation, the ways that we hold to, and some of those other things, you know what? They are going to change. I saw a saying not too long ago, and I like it. I've carried it with me. And it was that we are carrying a never-changing message into an ever-changing world. Think about that now. The gospel does not change. It has not changed and it will not change. The world changes. You wouldn't have seen that 15 years ago. Probably wouldn't have seen that 5 years ago. Gateway, you probably won't see that 15 years from now. And ain't a thing in the world wrong with that. Not a thing in the world wrong with it. Those are those traditions. Don't forsake the old-fashioned ways. This old heartfelt salvation that we preach. You know what? The world doesn't cater to that too much anymore. They think we're just old-fashioned and backward. Let them think that. But unfortunately, if we don't reach them and teach them, they'll be the ones that'll think it all the way to the very pits of hell that Brother Luke talked about. This old heartfelt salvation. And folks, that bench right there, I promise you, it will not save you one single bit. Amen. It will not give you salvation. I wasn't saved on one, but you know what? That small piece of furniture right there is as precious to me as any other thing in the world, I guess. I love the fact that we still set aside a place for people to come and seek God for the salvation of their soul. That's all that right there is. It's a place, it's a symbol of what we believe is so vitally important in the heart of an individual, and that is true, heartfelt, God-given salvation that makes the difference, that same peace that Brother Luke spoke of. That's what that represents. That's what that's about. And it's just as good. Let me tell you something, church. It's just as good for you as church members as it is for the lost. And if you don't hit that from time to time, you ought to try it. Give it a whirl sometime, and you'll see that when you bow right there, I tell you what, I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's the fact that you're finally just getting everything out of the way. But if you can get yourself to where you come up here and bow and talk to God, I promise you, you'll get a sweet blessing. I believe that because it's always happened for me that way. But learn from us that are a little bit older. Learn about the doctrines of the church. Learn about the truths and the things that we try to hold on to. And listen to us. But you know what? Older folks, and I'm not just talking about elders. I'm talking about folks that are older than these young folks. It does not give us the right to dictate unto them every single aspect of their life. We have to let them live a little bit. We have to let them learn. And sometimes learning the hard way is the way that we learn the best lessons in life. I'm not saying we just throw them out there and say, well, there's a world, go at it. I don't believe in that, but I also understand that there'll be some trial and error in their life. There'll be some times when things will be a little bit difficult, and as much as we want to just do it for them, sometimes we've just got to let them work it out. The Bible says work out your own salvation. Sometimes we have to work out things on our own, but we also need to understand it says all of you, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. My brothers and sisters, let us love one another in unity. We just sang about that just a few moments ago. Subject unto one another, loving each other. It doesn't matter if your membership's at Gateway, if your membership is at Victory. If you don't love me like you do your brothers and sisters of Victory, then you're in the wrong. If I don't love you like I do the folks at Gateway, I'm in the wrong. My brothers and sisters, we need to understand that when God has saved us, we have the same thing. All of us who have been saved have the same blood applied. We're in the same family of God, and we've got to love each other with all that we have. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want to talk to you for a moment. That verse of Scripture tells us that Satan is a lion. We think about that and we recognize how strong a lion is. We recognize how fierce a lion can be. We understand that when a lion can sink its claws into something, that it won't stop until it absolutely devours every last piece. And when a lion has reached its fill, it lays back and some of the others in the pride will eat. My friend, if you're here and you're lost and separated from God, I want you to know that Satan, that old adversary, that lion, he has nets cast before you. Talked a little bit about them. Maybe it's the alcohol. Maybe it's the drugs. Maybe it's all the other problems that you face in life. But I want you to understand something. He wants you to die. His nets are cast before you, and he wants you to become entangled and ensnared in his nets. He doesn't want the Word of God to reach you. He doesn't want God's people to have a positive influence in your life. He wants you to die lost and separated and eternally separated, burning in a pit of hell eternally. That's what Satan wants. And he will stop at nothing. You see, that's a problem. We Christians, we get a little bit tired. We'll lay back just a little bit. Satan will stop at absolutely nothing to drag every one of you who have been or are lost. He'll stop at nothing to drag you right to the very pits of hell. He'll stop at nothing. He wants to devour and consume you. I want you to understand that the nets that he throws out there are several places in the Scripture where it talks about the snares of the devil. My friend, Satan wants to entrap you. Satan wants you that we just sung about a few moments ago. I've been set free. The chains are gone. My friends, Satan wants you to become ensnared and entrapped in the things that he wants. He wants your soul. God wants your soul too. I told Brother Benny and the brethren sitting over here, I was privileged this morning. I like to scuba dive. Brother Jeremy asked me, he said, where'd you scuba dive? I said, White House. And I'm sure he's thinking, there's no ocean in White House. There's not. There's a quarry. I love to scuba dive. One of the things that I have watched, and I watch a lot of documentaries about the ocean and things like that. One of the things that is so troublesome is that oftentimes fishermen leave long nets. They'll set a net for a long distance to trap certain types of fish. Unfortunately, there are other types of fish that get entrapped in those nets. Satan has a net cast out there. Those of us who have been saved by God's grace, we're not immune from becoming entangled in his snares either. But the difference is that we have the grace of God on our side. I want you to understand that one of the things that I like to watch when I don't like to see this, but as I watch these documentaries, I see these fish that become entrapped. And one of the things I want you to understand is as these little fish, oftentimes they're big fish, whether they be dolphins or something else, dolphins unfortunately have to come to the surface to breathe. The other fish need to be moving so that the water passes through their gills to oxygenate their body. When they become ensnared and entrapped, they can't move. And eventually, they suffocate. I want you to understand that if Satan has snares and a net cast in front of you, if you become entangled in that without some intervention, you'll die. One of the things that often happens when these creatures become entangled in these nets is that there are people that go out and they spend a lot of their time going out and cutting these other fish and animals out of the net. Otherwise, they'll die entangled. I want you to understand that as you become entangled in Satan's net, and if you find that you are lost and separated from God, you're as entangled as you'll be. And I want you to understand that as much as you struggle, those fish that struggle, they just become more and more entangled. The more and more that you struggle to free yourself from Satan's snares and nets, the more entangled you'll become. I want you to understand that as you try something to get some relief, you find that you get constricted. So you reach out for something else. And then you find that you become entangled in that direction. And eventually you find that you are just at the end of your rope. You can't do anything else. Well, just like those dolphins and those fish, I want you to understand that you need to have some intervention. That intervention is the hand of Almighty God. I want you to understand, too, that when God gets on the scene, and God, and I'm telling you, that when you find trouble and sorrow in your heart, we can look at the 116th Psalm, and it tells us that the pains of hell got hold upon him. He found trouble and sorrow. My friends, it's not just some made-up plan of salvation that Brother Luke talked about tonight. It is the way that I believe that God intervenes in an individual's life when he puts that pain, that conviction, and that heartache in there that you know that something is wrong. That's God's way of saying, I love you, and I gave my only begotten Son to redeem you. You can try and try and try. Try everything you can to free yourself from the net of sin, but I promise you, you cannot do it on your own. You need a hand of intervention. Just as he says in that 116th Psalm, and if you want to look over there, we'll turn to it. Some preachers are given a wonderful memory and they can quote scriptures all day long. I'm not one of those. We find in that 116th Psalm, and the third verse, that the sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me, I found trouble and sorrow. In that fourth verse, it says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. If you're here tonight and you're lost and separated from God and you've never been saved, I want you to know that you've got to call upon Almighty God. You cannot come up here and shake my hand and get all right. You cannot come up here. I love Brother Benyon. I know he's a wonderful preacher and a wonderful pastor and all those nice things, but he can't save your soul. You can't shake his hand neither. You can't jump off in this pool of water that's bubbling back here. That won't save you and that won't redeem you. That won't wash away your sins. You've got to have the hand of God to intervene in your life. He says there that he called upon the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And then it says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. I want you to understand that when you call upon him in repentance and faith, that Brother Luke talked about, I'm here to tell you that the Scripture tells us that those that call upon him in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ will be saved. Amen. Amen. I really think sometimes that we as preachers preach a salvation that people feel like is unobtainable. But I want you to understand tonight, salvation is very obtainable. God's plan of salvation is simple. And the Scripture says the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. I believe the plan of salvation is simple. I think the hard part is for man to get himself out of the way. For you to quit trying to struggle and free yourself from the net that you find yourself captured in. I want you to know that if you ever get freed, it will be because God frees you from it when he saves your soul. And if you don't get freedom, and by freedom I'm talking about real, true peace deep inside of your heart, a peace that surpasses all understanding. If you don't have that, and you leave this world in that condition, hell will be your eternal home. I really believe, I believe it just as surely as I stand here, that one day after a while, when my old eyes close in death, I don't have to worry about hell. I'll go to be with the Lord. Why? Because I'm a good person, because I've done good deeds. Brother Benny and I think talked there a few minutes ago about how our good deeds absolutely no good. Your good works, your good deeds, doing nice things, that does not get you into heaven. That does not save your soul. And the only ones that it accounts for anything are for those of us who have been saved by his grace, and we are a new creature created unto good works. We're supposed to be doing them. But if you've never been saved, those good works will profit you absolutely nothing. It won't save you. Don't die ensnared and entrapped in Satan's nets. Don't let yourself depart from this life unprepared to face God. The Scripture tells us that one day after a while there will be a judgment. You will stand before a holy, righteous, Almighty God, and you will either be saved or lost. There will be a book, I believe, a book of life that is opened, and if your name is found in that, then I believe that you will eternally be with our God and our glorious Savior Jesus Christ that suffered and bled and died and gave his very life's blood to redeem us. I believe we'll be there eternally. But if your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you died lost and ensnared in Satan's trap. And you'll eternally be separated from this one that we've sung about tonight. This Savior, holy, perfect, righteous. And he gave his life to give you the opportunity to be saved. Don't die lost and separated from him. I'm done. Whoever's going to get us a song, I guess get us a song. And you've already heard me talk a little bit about this. Brother Benny, I'm going to take the liberty to have an altar call if you don't care. If you'd like to do it, you can come on up after I'm done. This is a place that we set aside for people to come and seek God. Lost and saved alike. Church, don't sit back and say, well, he's just talking to lost people. There are things on our hearts that hinder us. There are Satan snares that we have become entrapped in a little bit. And sometimes we need to get rid of those things ourselves. It's an opportunity to do that as well. But if you're lost and you've never, ever been saved by God's grace, it doesn't matter to me what anybody else in this room is doing. You need to get your heart and yourself right before God. That's what this is for. You don't have to come right here to get saved. You can get saved right back yonder. You can get saved right here. You can get saved in the fellowship hall. Just get saved. Get your heart right before God. Call upon Him. Seek after Him. Understanding, knowing, and believing. You know, Hebrews tells us that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Have you ever really diligently sought after God? Do you have a real broken heart and a contrite spirit? This is the time. This is the place. While we sing, won't you come forward if you need to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul?